Are you looking for Christ-centered, cross-focused Christmas gifts for your young children, grandchildren, or godchildren? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a children's book titled, O Holy Night. This children's resource costs less than $2, plus shipping and handling. O Holy Night is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Holy Night, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
The Christian faith teaches us that on this day, a child was born so that we might have eternal life.
From the moment of conception, you've got a human being, and that human being deserves legal protection. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist in the United States at the present time, and this is just damnable.
There's a kind of a Mary and a Martha story happening with us, and Advent puts us where Jesus says the good part is.
Glass and cloth, wood and stone will cry out to the next generation. This is what we have believed. This is Christ, our Savior, and yours.
Moms in Ohio love Issues Etc.
Well, it has the makings of, I think, an interesting story. There's no doubt about it. A story about Germany changing its laws on circumcision. Now, you don't have to go very far, just a little bit of free association, and pretty soon you're wondering about the echoes of German history, of Nazi oppression of the Jews and other people. And does that mean that if you're going to cover a story as a journalist, writing about circumcision laws today in the 21st century in Germany, you have to make reference to the Nazi past of Germany? It's a very good question. Greetings, welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 19th. George Conger joins us in the first few minutes to talk about a New York Times story on Germany's circumcision laws. Also, a Guardian story on reporting about a faith statement made by South Carolina's new Senator Tim Scott. A little bit later, Dr. Dean Wenthe joins us. Today, the church is remembering our very first parents and the very oldest of the Old Testament saints, Adam and Eve. We'll see what we should know about them and remember about them, why it's important that we remember them as they are written of and as real people. In a little bit later in Hour 2 of Issues Etc., George Conger is a regular guest. He formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. And he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd.
If you got Germany, albeit modern-day Germany, circumcision laws, and then Germany's past, of course, throw in the mix that it's the New York Times that's writing the story. But is it possible, objectively, from a journalistic standpoint, to write a story about 21st century circumcision laws in Germany without reference to Germany's Nazi past?
Well, it's easy to write. It's easy to throw in Nazis when writing about Germany. But when it has nothing to do with the story, then it's journalistically improper. And that's what's happened with some of the reporting we've had about the circumcision fight in Germany, which finally wound up being voted on in the German Bundestag, the parliament, last week.
Okay, tell us the story and then tell us what your issues are with some of the reporting, in particular the New York Times and Los Angeles Times.
Okay, about a year ago, a court in northern Germany passed a law banning circumcision of male infants. A Muslim boy, 6 years old, was circumcised according to the Muslim faith, and complications set in, and he was taken to a hospital, and the hospital reported the boy's circumcision to the police as child abuse. And it wound up in the courts, and a local court said, you may no longer circumcise boys because that is child abuse, because they're not old enough to make an affirmative statement they want to be circumcised. Well, when that court ruling was passed, all hell broke loose because the Muslims of Germany and the Jews of Germany said, this is part of our religious heritage. We can't not circumcise boys because that's part of our understanding of what God's plan for our lives is. And it went through the courts back and forth. A rabbi, or actually a moel, which is a Jewish I call him a minister who performs circumcisions, was arrested for performing a circumcision in a town near the border of Czechoslovakia. And finally, it came before the federal parliament, which had a vote, and the right to circumcise children was upheld as an issue of religious freedom. That's the basic story. And the New York Times and the L.A. Times reported that and then said, isn't it terrible that the Germans would do this after all because of the Nazi era when they tried to kill all the Jews and came very, very close to doing so? However, the story isn't about Germans being crypto-Nazis. The story really is that the faith in Germany, especially in Eastern Germany, is so far removed from people's daily lives that most people in some sections of Germany have no idea that circumcision has any religious connotations at all. They see it as an unhealthy practice of a culture, nothing to do with faith or religion. And the story that the New York Times and the LA Times missed, but NBC, National Broadcasting Company, got, was that this really is a story not about persecuting faith of minority Muslims and Jews, but a lack of faith and understanding by the majority German Christian population.
So they just covered the wrong story.
Well, it's easy. I mean, write a story for an American audience about Germany, and if you don't throw in Nazis, well, sometimes you don't think you're doing a good job. But that's sort of the facile way we have with so much reporting about culture and religion, about places that are far away that we only have sort of dim ideas about. And just throwing out Nazis, and whenever you write about Germany, it's a cheap way to fill out an article and seem knowing and wise, when in reality, it just shows you have no clue what you're talking about.
Now, there's another story, and this one comes from The Guardian, that you found of interest. It has to do with Tim Scott. He's the newest senator from South Carolina. Statements that he made, and I'm unclear whether The Guardian passed on the statements he made of a religious nature or whether they passed on them. What happened here?
Tim Scott, new senator from South Carolina, was introduced by Governor Nikki Haley at her appointment to fill the seat for Senator Jim DeMint. And The Guardian had a really solid 700-word story, which is a lot for a print newspaper, about this new senator. First African-American senator from the Deep South since the Reconstruction era of the 1870s. First Republican black senator for 30 years. And they went through all of his political work, his affiliation with the Tea Party, his opposition to Obamacare. They painted a really good political picture, and they even mentioned the fact that Senator Scott, when he was on the Charleston County Commission, fought to have the Ten Commandments displayed outside the county chambers. What they've omitted to mention was Scott's religious faith. And if you watched, or if you followed the tweets that came out of that press conference, the first thing out of Scott's mouth when he was appointed by Nikki Haley, he got up to speak. He asked for a moment of silence about Newtown, Connecticut. And then he said, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that sort of is a hint that Scott may be a religious person. And nothing, no faith whatsoever, appeared in the Guardian biography of Tim Scott. It's just incredible. Religion, as you say, it was almost as if this was some sort of strange quirk that Americans have that we really don't need to mention, like they drive on the wrong side of the road. we just don't get into that part of Americans because we don't understand it and it has no real meaning anyway. That's how The Guardian reported Tim Scott, who has a profound religious faith, raised by a single mother. If you read his biography, it said how he worked and was mentored by a man who ran the local Chick-fil-A franchise in Charleston. Well, if you've been paying any attention to the news this past year, you know all this stuff about Chick-fil-A being a company run by deeply committed Christians, and it has a very strong corporate ethos that encompasses the Christian faith. Nothing. Nothing in The Guardian about that.
So are you saying The Guardian's coverage of him was great, except that they failed to talk about or even address probably the major factor in Tim Scott's life that makes him tick?
Yes. They wrote about the major factor of Tim Scott's life is that he's black. And Tim Scott, in the article that The Guardian wrote, says, I'm not about race. I'm not about race. I happen to be black, but I'm not someone who is a black American or African American with the emphasis on the first word. His emphasis is on the second, an American. And they leave out what Scott has said time and again, that what defines him as a human being is his relationship with Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, if you're going to write a biography about somebody and you want to get a sense who that person is, if you don't mention their faith, you're not really telling the full story.
So what simple questions, with just about a minute here, George, what simple questions could the Guardian have asked and quite easily answered in the case of Tim Scott that would have, as you say, written the other half of the story that they didn't end up writing on the new senator? About
well,
a minute here.
They danced around it. They said his mother raised him with strong conservative values. What were those values? You know, was he in other words, they talk about values. They talk about ethics. They talk about what is important for Scott, but they don't ask the basic question. What is important? What guides your thinking? Why do you support this policy? And what are your philosophical reasons for opposing Obamacare? Is it a religious freedom issue or is it an economic issue? None of the questions that a savvy American reporter would ask were asked by The Guardian. And it speaks more to the fact that The Guardian, they're not dumb. It's just the British culture and the British newspaper industry, it's just not interesting. It's not part of who they are.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about Adam and Eve. On this day, December the 19th, the Church is remembering them. Now, in order to remember them, we have to first establish the fact and realize the importance of the fact that they were real people, our first parents, and the oldest of the Old Testament saints, Adam and Eve, with Dr. Dean Wenthe right after this.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio. Sacred music for the Christmas season. Coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Folks, we're currently $30,000 short of making budget this year, and we have 2 weeks left in 2012. Please support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make an online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make a tax-deductible contribution by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.